Well, good afternoon. Wasn't that a nice lunch? A nice salad, then lots of dessert. Just the right healthy type of meal that we need. Well, the title of what I'd like to share with you is Living in a Turbulent World. And I thought, first of all, I'd share a little bit of what my turbulence was like when I had kids at home, and then sort of transition into what it's like now. And maybe some of you that have had kids at home or still have kids at home can identify with that. I can remember when we had three daughters and when all three of them were at home. And Alan used to travel a lot, and we were living in Toronto, and I always could plan on something happening when he'd leave. A major appliance breakdown, or somebody ended up in the hospital, or break an arm or something. Just, you always knew that would happen. So you just got used to it. Well, he was leaving for Dallas, and one of the kids' beds had broken, so I was going to have to go out the next day and buy a new bed frame. I thought, oh, that's no big deal. You know, we can handle this one. So we took the box springs and mattress and put it on the floor, thinking it'll be okay by tomorrow. So he took off, and I thought, well, this is minor. And so girls went to bed, got up the next morning to get Amy going for her art lessons. And I walked into the bedroom, and water came up around my feet. And I thought, well, what in the world? And there was this horrible smell. And I was so puzzled. I thought, okay, something's wrong. And so I looked over at the aquarium that they had sitting on their dresser. Well, the water was gone. The fish were going like this. So I said, girls, wake up. You get towels. You get a bucket of water for the fish. And we got to move this bed. The water's coming for it. So I sent all the girls scrambling. And so we got the bed out of the way. We got the fish back in the right amount of water. And then I just stood there and looked at it and I thought, this was the day we were supposed to clean this aquarium. So you can, you know, the buildup was sort of bad. That was the smell. And then I thought, okay, Amy, let's forget the art lessons this morning. We're going to be busy. Also, I found out the water had gone through the bedroom floor into the guest room closet downstairs, made a hole in the ceiling, went all over that carpeting, messed up that carpeting. I thought, okay, this will probably be the end of it. So we was cleaning up downstairs, upstairs, and trying to figure out, we need to get an aquarium today. We need to get a bed frame and try to get rid of this horrible smell and this carpet. And we used every towel, every extra thing we could to just absorb some of that water. Well, as the day went along, well, it's still morning, actually. I put some dishes in the dishwasher, and I had a full load, and I thought, okay, we'll just start this and get it out of the way, because I had a missionary luncheon at church at noon. So I thought, let's get this going. So we did. Well, for the first time, and the only time it ever happened, the dishwasher overflowed. The water went down into all the light fixtures, into the hallway downstairs, and it just, I had water dripping from light fixtures. I said, well, do we turn off the lights? And then, what do we do here? So, okay, we need more towels, girls. Also, it was going into the light fixture in the bathroom down there. So I thought, okay. And I was looking at the girls thinking, this is not a good day. And so I thought, okay, we can get through this. We'll just keep cleaning up and we'll take some time. Then the next thing, I was so embarrassed when I found out that week my girls had gotten lice, head lice. And I thought, I'm a very clean person. You don't get this if you're clean. Well, I learned that that's not true, and that kids get it in schools. You know, it's no big deal. It's no disgrace, but, you know, you have to get over that. So so that week, I'd already taken all the stuffed animals that were on their beds and things and put them in garbage bags, put them in the garage to give, if there's any nits in there, time to die. You leave them out there for a week or something. And then I took all the coats and hats and scarves and mitts, and you always wear that type of thing in winter in Toronto. There's no question about whether it's going to be cold. And I had made stacks down in the laundry room to wash them that weekend and took all the comforters off and all the stuff that you have to wash in case they've got their head against it and there's more eggs, you know, all that type of thing. Good experience. So I had all this down in our laundry room, just in stacks, ready to run it through hot water wash. You have to use hot water. So I thought, okay, let's see now. So I thought, well, I better get that going because they're going to need their coats for school on Monday and all these things. So I just put a load in without thinking because I had it all sorted and ready. And then all of a sudden, a little bit later, I hear one of the girls yell. And I thought, oh, no. So I went running downstairs. You know, the water was still in the hallway and still dripping from the ceiling a bit. And in this laundry room, we finished the whole basement, but the laundry room was unfinished. You know, the freezer was in there, the hot water tank, a place to store boxes, washer, dryer. But we had pulled up this orange carpet from our family room, but when we moved in and put in newer carpet, this was the 70s, okay? So orange was okay then. And so what I didn't know, that when this carpet got wet, the collar would run. So here I have hot water coming out of the washer because the water hadn't cut off. Hot water going all over this orange carpeting. It is running. I have clothes everywhere. I have girls, Mom, what'd you say to do with the fish? Should we feed them? And I still have water dripping from the ceiling. We got the dishwasher cut off and decided we'll do those by hand. And I thought, well, this is the top one. And finally I got to the point and we got the clothes. Some were wet and soppy, and we pulled them out of the washing machine, and the water was going from the laundry room into the hallway, making that part of the carpeting wet, and I thought, I quit. I give up. There's just no way. And I looked at the girls, and I said, you are old enough to stay on your own for a couple hours. I'm leaving. Now, I was supposed to have a salad and another dish ready for this to take to this missionary lunch, and I thought, no way, I'm just going. So I said, now you know what you can and can't do, you know who to call for an emergency, I'm going out for a while. So I went to this missionary lunch, and oh, was I in a great mood to hear a missionary speak. And I just sort of sat there. I didn't even eat. I just sat there and listened and thought, okay, it's time to go back home. So we went back and we recovered. But, you know, that type of turbulence, I'm sure all of you have faced things like that in your life. And I'm hoping that that's just history in my life, that I won't have that many things go wrong in one day. And I haven't. So I'm trusting that the Lord understands what my limit is. And I'm sure He does. So that's what it was like having kids with a husband that travels and just different things that can happen in a day. Well, now it's different issues. My children, my three daughters, our daughters are all grown, married, and having children. Some of the things I face today are, you know, if an appliance breaks down, it breaks down. We don't seem to do it in numbers these days. But it's like, what do I do when my daughter calls and said, Mom, John's flying out. The thing's on again in Iraq. He's leaving. He doesn't know how long he's going to be gone. He may miss Christmas. And I don't know whether to stay here or come home or what to do. And then you hear from an extended family member who's in a crisis saying, I just don't know if I can make it. I just feel like quitting. I'm useless. There's nothing I can do. So you spend time on the phone just trying to talk them through that. So that's another thing that's thrown in your day. And then caring for elderly parents. My parents have passed away, but Alan's dad is still alive at 86. And we were visiting with him a couple weeks, and you think, well, now, he's still very independent, and you don't want to take away his dignity, but you don't dare ride in the car with him. He's absolutely dangerous. You know, so do you have the state take away his license, or do you let him keep driving? And what if he hurts somebody? And he's a tremendous cook. I love to eat his cooking. But he's missing a few things now and then, and the house isn't quite as clean as it was, and you know, there's danger of falls and all these things. So there's elderly parents. How do you take care of them? How do you face that? So it just seems to change what it actually is as you get older and your kids get older. What I had with The three girls at that point, they're totally different things now. But I'm sure all of you can identify with any number of things I've mentioned and probably could add to the list numerous other ones. But I think the one thing that I thought I had as a solid rock-bottom conviction was that God was sovereign and He was in control of my life. And I tell people, yeah, you have to believe that God is sovereign. Yeah, that has to be a real conviction in your life. And I thought, okay, this is one area I'm making headway in. I've got to figure it out. And just a few weeks ago, that was totally challenged. And I thought, okay, here I go again. We have to recycle through this lesson. And there have been many times in my life when the only thing I've had to hold on to that was the fact that God was sovereign. I'd pray for things and I'd pray till I didn't know what else to pray, but I could hang on to that if nothing else, that He was sovereign and in control. He could step into the situation at any point and help me to deal with all that I was facing. And some of the verses that really meant a lot to me on just the sovereignty of God was Psalm 135, 5 and 6 says, "For I know the Lord is great and that our Lord is above all gods. Whatever the Lord pleases, He does, in heaven and in earth, in the seas and all the deeps." And then I think of Daniel 2, 21 and 22 says, "And it is He who changes the times. He removes kings and establishes kings. He gives wisdom to wise men and knowledge to men of understanding. It is He who reveals the profound and hidden things. He knows what's in the darkness, and the light dwells with Him." And those were verses that I could always hang on to, no matter what we were facing or involved in and doing. But then, just a couple of weeks ago, I was having this talk with God as I was doing my laundry. And I was going back and forth from the washer and dryer to her bedroom and folding clothes and, you know, all that. And I was just expressing to the Lord my concern about a grandchild and of ours and our daughter and her husband. And a little bit about this granddaughter. We've talked about sovereignty. You know how you pray for your kids? And you pray, "Lord, give these girls some babies. They really want to have kids." And then all of a sudden, you're having three grandchildren in 6 months. And you just say, "Okay, let's go." But anyway, our first granddaughter is Rebecca, and she was born August 29th. Healthy, happy, contagious smile, just a bubbly thing, and just a delight. I like being a grandmother. Then our second granddaughter was born, Faith is her name, Faith Elizabeth. And she was 5.5 weeks early. And so that threw things for a little bit. She seemed to be fine. She was 6 pounds, 6 ounces, good weight. And she was in ICU for just a couple of days under oxygen just to help her with her breathing. Was declared healthy and go home with your mom and dad. She's doing great. And then within 2 weeks' time, there were a number of issues that developed. And she ended up spending all of November in the Hospital of Children's in Denver, and had major surgery at 5 weeks, and has just gone from taking 2 steps forward in recovering, then taking a step back, and another infection or another issue. Some which she'll outgrow, and others that, you know, they're hoping the surgery will correct, and on and on. So here I was, just explaining things to the Lord, since He really didn't understand. I said, "Boy, you know, Nancy came through that leukemia. She went into remission. The next week she found out she was pregnant. And what an excitement that was, because they had probably decided, well, maybe we won't be having kids. Maybe we can adopt." And we were also excited about this baby. And at 20 weeks she went on bed rest, and was on bed rest the whole time. Ended up in the hospital a week before she had Faith. Now we have Faith, and she's such a delight. These big blue eyes just dominate her whole face. You know, you just see eyes when you look at her. And I thought, "Now, Lord, you know, they've been through so much. And, you know, they're just exhausted. I'm tired, and I'm not even up there with them all the time. So, you know, don't you think it's about time that Faith was better and moving on, just like a normal little kid, not having all these issues?" And then I'd go fold some clothes, and I'd continue giving more details just in case he had missed something. Then I just stopped dead in my tracks, leaned on the railing, and the Lord was saying, "Okay, Becky, you know that I am sovereign. Nothing has changed. I am in control. You just need to back off and relax." He didn't say back off. "You need to relax." And I thought of backing off. "And just let me do the work I want to do in my own way and in my own time." And I thought, "Yeah, you're right. You've known about this and you understand it a lot better than I do. Okay, Lord. Once again, you are sovereign. You are in control. And you're in control of my kids' lives. And you can step in and stop things and do things at any point. And I need to allow you to do that. So once again, I need to grab on to the conviction that he is the sovereign God and in control. And let him be that." And that does help. It seemed like a load was lifted once again. Okay, I still hate to see these blue eyes and all this pain. But God, you are in control. You know what she's going through. So as I face the craziness in my life, and as you face your craziness, whatever it may be, and the turbulence that goes on, we need to have that conviction, but also we have to be connected to the Lord. The only way that I can get through the things that I know God is going to allow in my life is by being connected to Him. And a verse that I like is Hosea 6:3. And it says, "So let us know, let us press on to know the Lord. His going forth is as certain as the dawn, and he will come to us like the rain, like the spring rain watering the earth." As most of you know, I grew up in West Virginia, so our front porch faced a mountain. Beautiful place. It has a few things you may not like, but it's a pretty place. The mountains are gorgeous. So when it would rain, I'd love to go out and sit on the front porch and just watch it. Just watch the rain coming down. Sometimes it was just a sprinkle, and it wasn't really enough to really water the flowers or the lawn or the garden, the vegetable garden, to really do any good. The things wouldn't have survived if that's the only thing we had gotten, just a sprinkling here and there. Then there would be times when I'd sit on the porch for a while and usually end up going inside when the wind was really blowing, it was thundering and lightning, and it was such a downpour that if you sat on the porch, you got soaked, so that's why I went in. But I was a little afraid of the lightning, too. But it would usually do so much damage. You could hear branches breaking off, or you could see the flowers being beaten down. And the water would run off so quickly that it didn't have time to really go deep into the soil to be soaked in and really help things to grow. But my favorite times was when there was just a nice, steady rain coming down. Quiet, peaceful, but just for a good while, a nice, steady rain. And that was when the rain could go deep into the soil, and the flowers would be watered, and the garden would be, and your plants would be safe, and the lawn would just be that much greener. That's the way it is with our walk with the Lord. We need to have those times of just soaking in the Lord, at the times that I can go deep with Him. You may have days where it's just like a sprinkle. It's not really that steady, in-depth time. And sometimes when we go to conferences and things, it's like there's a downpour. We just take in so much that we're on a high, but it's not what's going to keep us steady. So those times of soaking in Him can come through just our times and our quiet times, times in the Word, times in prayer. Isaiah 55 tells us to incline our ear and listen. So those times in prayer, just to listen to what He's saying to us. We need to have regular Bible study. I need to be in a regular Bible study with one other person or a group of people, just to be growing and soaking in the Word. And memorizing Scripture, just so that when I'm out in a situation, those verses can come to mind to help me to deal with things in the way I should. So not only do we need to have the conviction that God is sovereign and that we are connected to Him, and that's what helps me through those times. But also, if I'm going to survive in a turbulent world, excuse me, I must also turn my eyes outward to other people. If I'm not doing that, otherwise I'm looking inward and my fears can overwhelm me with maybe what I'm facing that day or that week or that month. So I need to have a commitment to purposefully reach out to those around me. God has designed us to be relational beings. Seeing other and their needs allow us to keep our life in a proper perspective. And reaching out to others is a natural overflow of that connectedness to the Lord, of that time with Him and getting to know Him. You know, those people you may be reaching out to may be your neighbors. It may be someone in your tennis club, a single mom, someone your kids play soccer with, a mom from there, or a family. There may be someone that comes to your mind right now that you're reaching out to, or could be. Verses that I really like are Isaiah 61, 1 through 3. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a spirit of fainting, so they will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified. So often when I have been in a situation where I'm thinking about sharing about Christ with someone else, I get just like this, just tense. And I think, okay, I need to do that. Now, how do I do that? And then the opportunity goes by, and I feel guilty. But when I look at it as just loving and accepting people just where they are, I seem to be able to relax with that. And just showing them love, that way they can see the Lord in me, hopefully. And that'll bring them to a point of maybe seeking out Jesus. As Al and I were thinking about, now who should be the people we're reaching out to? We considered the word household, which is a familiar Bible term. Who is in our household? And we thought, well, we need to figure that out and concentrate on those people. We thought, okay, we've got three daughters, three sons-in-laws, and grandchildren are a little young to be reaching out to anyone yet. But those people and the people they come in contact with. Also, Alan mentioned the other night a couple named Dave and Val, and their four, soon to be four kids, 3 3/4. And so we have contact with some of their friends through family birthdays and piano recitals that their kids are involved in and all that. And then the neighbors on both sides of us. And the one thing that the Lord, I found out the other day that one neighbor, the couple works, they don't have children, but her mother has an apartment in their basement. So she's home all alone all day. So I was trying to think, now what can I do to take her somewhere or do something with her? Because she's just alone. And so we worked it out that at the end of this month, I'll bring her over and take her on a tour of the Glen. It's something she's always wondered about, this place. And I thought, well, it's a way of getting her out. It's a way of getting to know her, but it's something she'd enjoy. And one of my daughters called me last week, and she says, Mom, you know, I really can't do this, but I wish you'd fix a meal for this person. And I'm sitting here thinking, I got enough to do. But I didn't say that. I said, okay, I'll see what I can do. She says, well, I figure it'll help break down some barriers because they look at you all like you're the Christian, right? And you're dangerous to be around. And I said, well, okay, I'll see what I can do. And I'm sitting in my heart thinking, another thing on my list. But as I thought about it, I thought, she's right. So I called. It's actually her, let's see, what is this? It's her husband's brother's wife. And so I called and didn't get her, and I said, look, I hear you're on bed rest. You have two children. Your third one's on the way, and you're on bed rest. So let me fix the meal for you. How about this day? And if it doesn't work, let me know. And so I left the message, and I just took my messages off my machine. And she's called, and she says, oh, thank you so much. She says, I appreciate it. That means so much that you'd want to do that for me. So it's another step in breaking down that barrier. So the whole issue is helping each person taking a step closer to getting to know Jesus and who he is, and growing and understanding who he is. It's taking time for people when it would be easier for us not to do that. And so those are three things that help me whenever my life seems a little turbulent. And it's one, I have to hang on to that conviction that God is sovereign and in control. I have to be connected to the Lord and walking with Him and growing in Him and soaking in on a regular basis who He is. And the third thing is making that commitment to reach out to others and getting my eyes focused on others and loving them and helping them to see Jesus. So that's what I'm working on right now. So thank you for letting me share.